This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Stock prices, currencies, and government bonds gyrate sharply across the world as markets begin to digest Donald Trump's victory. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with special coverage this morning of market reaction to the election results. Stock index futures took a dive toward their preset limits overnight as the narrative emerged that Donald Trump was winning. The S&P 500 future traded in Chicago fell 5%, with the Dow future not far behind. But as the night wore on, the declines moderated some, both here and abroad. Right now, the Dow future is down 310 points, 1.7%. The S&P future is down 1.8%, and the NASDAQ future is down 2.1%. Now, you might expect a so-called flight to safety with bonds, but U.S. government bond prices are down, with the yield on the 10-year note, which moves inversely, up sharply to 1.9%. One market that is not recovering is the Mexican currency, the peso, down 9% now. It costs 20 pesos to buy a U.S. dollar, close to tying its lowest ever. Asia, in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng fell 2.2%. Tom Rafferty is in Beijing for the Economist Intelligence Unit.
China featured quite prominently in Mr. Trump's campaign. He made a big thing about sort of standing up to the Chinese government on issues like trade and the exchange rate. So I think there's an anticipation that there could be a little bit of volatility in the bilateral economic relationship in the months and weeks ahead. And I think probably they're going to be starting to think about how this will play out in the coming years, too. I mean, China needs the U.S. as to be sort of an advocate of globalization and free trade. China has benefited enormously from that trend. And if the U.S. isn't making those arguments anymore, then that's going to have an impact on the Chinese economy and particularly its export sector.
As for Japan, the Trump win drove the dollar to 103 Japanese yen. A stronger yen makes Japanese exports more expensive and tougher to sell, prompting an emergency meeting overnight by senior Japanese finance officials. In Europe, the early wave of selling has been moderating. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The FTSE in London is nearly flat. The key index on the Spanish exchange is down 1.8%. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is with Seven Investment Management in London.
What it's showing, I think, is there's fear and concern about what's happening in the euro area overall in terms of trade with the United States. And the possibility, of course, was that were we actually going to be seeing the euro agreement with the United States go ahead. And, of course, future President Trump has been very anti it all the way through. So that's had a knockback on that. That doesn't apply, obviously, to the United Kingdom because of our own Brexit vote. We're not going to be part of that. And also because the UK index is a very international index. It has very little European and UK stocks in comparison.
What about the timing that we saw in stemming some of the downward surge in stock prices overnight? Do you think it was around the time that Donald Trump gave his victory speech? It seems that some of the downward pressure went away at that point.
It was fascinating. We were actually watching on the screens in terms of actually watching him speak and also then watching the prices. And there was a very distinct correlation between the two. Suddenly, from being the very outspoken, loud individual, suddenly this was a much more calming talk, someone which was much more inclusive and giving much more encouraging signs with regard to world trade. And so, therefore, markets started calming immediately on it. This morning, we've all been actually trying to write down our slides as to what we're going to be saying to clients and what our fears are. And the fears, obviously, of global trade and the impact on that. But, you know, to an extent, he's actually eased some of those, at least initially. We still have concerns, obviously, with China, concerns, obviously, with Russia as well. But nonetheless, certainly some of the immediate fear that there was, a frisson that was running through early this morning, was dissipated very quickly by a few calming sentences.
Always good to talk to Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investment Management. He's speaking from London. Justin, thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
The economic model that has governed planet Earth may get dramatically reshaped with a Trump presidency now on the way. Ian Bremmer is founder of Eurasia Group, a political risk consultancy. Ian, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you.
What early themes are emerging, do you think, for companies trying to adapt to this sudden new reality?
It is that the United States is not going to be promoting the role of global architect and of trade, the protectionism that you will see as a consequence, and the incredible hedging that you'll see from American allies away from the U.S., away from the U.S. in terms of its trade standards, and even eventually away from the U.S. in terms of the dollar. I think that is a very serious concern as the Americans repudiate the idea of being the world's protector and leader and instead turns towards a much more unilateralist, even much more Chinese type foreign policy.
Just briefly, can you just imagine your corporate clients in the pharmaceutical industry looking for clarity on the future of healthcare policy in America? You could imagine if you had clients in the steel industry, they're interested in clarity on a Trump administration's import-export policy. There actually isn't a lot of clarity on specifics like this at this point.
Look, I mean, there's a reason why multinationals overwhelmingly gave to the Clinton campaign. And that's not because they thought that Clinton was going to be so great for them. I mean, pharmaceuticals on balance would expect that regulations were going to be tighter. It's because the extraordinary uncertainty of a Trump administration plus the demands of an anti-globalization platform, those things together really feel like the worst possible outcome for U.S.-based multinationals. Some will feel like they need to double down on the United States because of the strength of the U.S. market and because it'll be harder to do international trade. But there's no question that many corporations will think that having your global headquarters in America will be more problematic for them.
Ian Bremmer at the Eurasia Group, thank you for the briefing.
My pleasure, Dave.
We will be monitoring the markets and the economy all morning long following the election results. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.